This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
The Conference Board of Canada's 2012 report card on Canada's performance has revealed that despite a general B grade in the country's society performance, Canada places 12th out of 17 peer countries on income equality. It seems Canada has been unable to reverse the rise in income equality and poverty rates that occurred in the 1990s. We're joined on the phone by Brenda Lafleur, Director at the Conference Board's How Canada Performs Research.
Welcome to People First Radio, Brenda.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Brenda, how is this annual report card about Canada created each year?
We have been doing this for about 15 years now, and we put out a report card on six different aspects of Canadian performance. So everything we've been talking, you're focusing here today on the society report card, but we also have other report cards on, for example, environment and health, education, the economy, innovation. So it's a wide range of aspects.
What countries are we being compared with, and how have you chosen those countries? Who are the peers that we're being assessed alongside?
Right. Well, you use the word peer, and that's the important word, is that we're really comparing ourselves to other high-income countries. We don't really think it's fair to, you know, talk about how great Canada's doing if we're comparing ourselves to countries that are in the developing world or other much more middle or lower-income countries. So the countries we're comparing ourselves to are really the leading countries of the world. They're the ones that have the high income, they're developed, they're industrialized. So these are really, as you pointed out, our peers.
Now, this society category that we're talking about today, I equate that whole kind of analysis with the concept of quality of life. And how are the society grades determined?
Well, that's a good point, is that really what we have defined as quality of life are all of the categories that we have, I mentioned earlier. So that is like economic. It is quality of life is about money, for sure, about income. People have to have enough income to live. It's also about the environment. It's about health. And it's about this category, the social category. So really, we are trying to go beyond a narrow measure. It's not just about money. It's not enough to have, you know, high incomes in the country if all the income is only going to a few people, or if it comes, for example, at the expense of the environment. You know, you could put in place lots of programs that we could get some money for it, but it would be at the expense of the environment. So really, we're looking at a broad idea of a high and sustainable quality of life for all Canadians.
So Canada gets a B on its society report card for 2012, which apparently is fairly good. But the Conference Board report makes specific comments about income equality. Tell us more about that.
Sure. I said that, you know, the countries that we compare ourselves to, including Canada, are among or the wealthiest in the world. But that doesn't tell us much about how that wealth is being distributed. So we have an indicator that we look at, an income inequality indicator or income inequality, and that tells us how the money or the goods and services that we produce in the country are being distributed. And so really what we have found out, and you noted, is that this income inequality in Canada is quite a bit higher today than it was 20 years ago. So if you think about, for example, the overall income of the country as a pie, the share going to the richest group of Canadians has increased, and the shares going to the poorest group of Canadians and middle-income Canadians has shrunk. So that means that the income distribution is not as equal as it was, say, 20 years ago.
There's a phenomenon in the U.S. which has been described as the hollowing out of the middle class. And I know that you're probably aware of a recent bank analysis or report that suggested that Canada might be heading down the same road, a hollowing out of the middle class. Is that happening?
Well, we're certainly seeing we're not nearly in the same category as the U.S. They're facing quite a stronger rise in income inequality. But certainly, if you think about the hollowing out as being the shrinking of that pie going to the middle class, yes, we are experiencing that as well.
What has the Conference Board learned about child poverty in Canada, which is an ongoing and annual concern that we hear about every time a child poverty report card is released?
I think this is probably one of the most disturbing elements that comes out of our report card, is just the fact that not only have we not been able to reverse or deal with the issue of child poverty. In fact, it's getting worse. It actually increased between the mid-1990s and the late 2000s. We, out of our peer group, those 17 countries, we ranked 15th. It's one of our worst performances. And to give your listeners an idea, more than one in seven children lives what we would call below the income poverty line or in low income.
There's concern about working age people as well.
Absolutely. That also has increased. And that, you know, some of it reflects certainly the effect of the recession when people's jobs were lost and some high paying jobs in the manufacturing sector. But we can't blame it all on that. This has been a phenomenon that has been increasing over time. Now, again, you know, we're not saying this is, we're not sounding the big alarm bells. We're not nearly as bad as the United States. But as I pointed out in the beginning, I mean, we believe that it's important to look at a wider range of countries than just the U.S. We tend to look at the U.S. and think we do quite well. But if you look internationally and try and get best practices, you can see that there are many countries that are doing much better than us on these issues of, in particular, poverty.
Tell us about intergenerational income mobility.
Right. A big word or a big phrase, really what it's trying to get at is whether people, so for example, if you have a family that is working class, if that family has children, does it mean that those children are destined to be working class also? Or a family who's poor, does it mean that those children are destined to be poor in the future? What this indicator tells us is how likely is it, or what's the probability that people can get out of the class that they were born in? In some countries, like the United States and the United Kingdom, England, it's very hard to get out of the situation you were born in. If you were born in a poor family, you're probably going to be poor as an adult. Canada, we do quite well on this, and this is one of the features of Canada that is something that I think we can pat ourselves a little bit on the back about, is that for Canadians who are born into poverty, it's much less likely than an American or a British person that they'll be stuck in poverty. We have much more likelihood that through education and through other things, we can move ourselves out of that situation.
And we're doing pretty good with respect to the acceptance of diversity.
Yeah, that's another bright spot. For example, on the question of whether, you know, people felt that their community was accepting of people from different racial or cultural groups, over 80% of Canadians said that this was true, that they were more accepting. Compare that to the Japanese, who only about 50% said that their community was accepting. So I think this is another bright spot, that Canada definitely is known and it appears to be true that we are a country that is much more tolerant.
Now, the poverty rate amongst elderly people also is low. However, it has increased rather sharply over the last 15 years or so.
Yes, that's a good point. And it's something we get a good mark on it because compared to many other countries, we have a low elderly poverty rate. However, as you point out, it has been increasing, and we don't want it to get back to, for example, where it was in the mid-70s. It was up around 40%. We as a country made a real concerted effort to address that elderly poverty rate, and we did a great job. We can't let it slip now. It seems to be slipping back up, so we have to grapple with that.
The income gap between disabled and able-bodied workers is one of the areas you looked at. What did you find?
We do, and we look at that because we're trying to get an idea of how a country deals with its most vulnerable populations, like children and like people with disabilities. And we do quite well in that case. We're up in, you know, in the sort of good range with some of the Scandinavian countries. And we seem to have programs in place that work pretty well to make sure that people with disabilities don't fall into, a real poverty trap.
One other area that you look at as well is a country's suicide rate. And I'm wondering if you could tell us where Canada stands, so to speak, in terms of suicide amongst our population.
Well, we use that, we include that because we want to look at how a country deals with issues of mental illness. And the suicide rate is one aspect that might reflect that. And we actually don't do too badly on a grading of A, B, C, or D. We get a B. And we rank seventh place out of 17. We don't do as well as some countries like the Netherlands and Australia that are quite a bit lower than us. But we're nowhere near Japan has a suicide rate that's over 20%. So I think, you know, I mean, I'm sure your listeners, we are talking about the issue of mental illness much more. We hear more about it in workplaces. We have more programs to deal with it. So we have been addressing the issue, and we're not doing too badly as a country.
Brenda LaFleur, we have to leave it at that, but thank you very much for taking the time to join us. We really appreciated it.
Thank you so much for asking me. It was a great pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Brenda LaFleur is director of the Conference Board of Canada's How Canada Performs research. You can find them online at conferenceboard.ca.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Centre Society in partnership with the Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.